Welcome to Greenball. I'm Marie Crow. In this episode, we cross to Alan Lewis to look at the men's Bangladesh tour. We're delighted this week to chat with Boyd Rankin, Northwest Warriors head coach and Ireland men's first test wicket taker. In our segment, Answer Me This, we chat to Women's International Player of the Year, Arlene Kelly. Now, on with the show. I'm delighted to say that Alan Lewis is standing by. Alan, how are you?
I'm very good, Marie. No complaints at all.
Well, we've a lot to get through, and we might as well go back a little bit and start with the ODI series defeat to Bangladesh. Disappointing series overall, two heavy defeats. It could have been a third as well if the weather hadn't intervened. Just with a few days past now, how do you reflect on it, Alan?
I reflect on it the fact that Ireland are playing now an incredibly good Bangladesh team. They're incredibly competitive. They came off a 3-0 victory against England, and I watched those matches, and really they've pushed themselves into a very, very good unit. Really top class seam bowling, obviously a history and tradition of good spin. And, you know, the reality is that Ireland struggled in the series.
Why did they struggle, Alan? And like, what are the areas that are of most concern to you?
Well, I think what you have to accept is that Bangladesh are a very, very good team. I think we're coming on the back of, you know, not a huge amount of cricket, and you need rhythm to get into to get into games. They came on the back of a very competitive series against England. And they were full of cricket, and they had cricket in the balls. To go to the subcontinent isn't easy. And again, the other side of things is perhaps, you know, without a batting unit that was firing. But, you know, it was quite interesting to hear the comments of, you know, the difficulty. Certainly, I think the Irish coach was certainly saying the difficulty to deal with pace. But Ireland have never really had any issues with pace. You know, they played against South Africa in a series probably with the most potent seam attack around. So I don't really buy that one myself. Obviously, the Bangladesh group of seamers under Alan Donald as coach have really started firing, most of them bowling it in around the 140K mark, but they're bowling really well. And I don't buy that. I just kind of think we haven't really hit our straps with the bat at all. And, you know, the other side of things is when you're chasing 340, 350 every game, that becomes a real challenge.
You mentioned the word selection there and a few questionable calls. For you, what were they?
Well, I think in terms of the spin department, it surprised me in the sense that Young Frost, the left-arm spinner who's been consistently very well, was overlooked. That certainly did surprise me. I think one of the real positives through this series has actually been Graham Hume, who, again, you know, for the purposes of what he does, he bowls a very consistent line and length. There's nothing too fancy down about what he does. He just hits the top of off stump, swings the ball away, and he's got his rewards. He's been really good for Ireland since he's come into the scene, and he's probably been our most consistent bowler.
What are the areas, Alan, do you think that can be improved now in the short term?
Well, in the short term, you know, there's a real battle on our hands, and you know what we've got to try and do is remain positive, encourage. We've got some smashing players that just need to be, in a sense, lifted, and you know that a lot of that sort of stuff comes from within. There's no point in, you know, moaning about our lot. We've got to try and just maybe develop a little bit more resilience about what they want to get out of one another. And invariably that comes from within a squad. The only thing is, you know, you've got to look and reflect on how well they played last summer, having won a series against Afghanistan. And I'm tempering it with, in this particular series, a Bangladesh team that are extremely good. And I think they're going to challenge, you know, they'll have their eyes set on, you know, a really good World Cup because they've developed as a team. Their fielding has improved no end, and they look a really together unit.
Test cricket is just around the corner. What should the expectation be now heading into it?
I think there'll be a huge level of excitement. You know, the players have craved. Obviously, we've been without a test for a number of years now. And I think there'll be huge excitement in terms of that. It'll be tough. They're playing against a Sri Lankan team in their own backyard, although the Sri Lankans themselves have got their own difficulties. they mightn't be qualifying, or they could be coming to the qualifying tournament with Ireland. They've just been beaten in New Zealand. So, you know, from the point of view of where they are, you know, a two-match test series will fill the players with great excitement, and it should. And obviously then the carrot is the test match in Lourdes in early June.
It's exciting anyway, and hopefully we'll have something to cheer about when it comes around. Alan, thank you so much, as always, for reflecting on all of that action over the last couple of weeks, and we'll talk to you again soon. Now, I'm delighted to say that Boyd Rankin, Northwest Warriors head coach and performance pathway manager, joins us on the line. Boyd, first of all, how are you and how's life?
Hi there. Yeah, I'm good. Can't complain, to be honest. Yeah, obviously been quite busy just over the winter period, just with obviously the senior guys, and then, as you said, they're overseeing like the pathway stuff as well. So, yeah, it's been a pretty full-on winter. I've also just started my level four like specialist coaching badge last October. So trying to juggle that as well. It's been quite difficult, but now I've managed to get through the first year now. So I've just got another year to go.
Was that always the plan for you when you finished up to go in the coaching route?
It was always an interest of mine, even obviously when I was sort of the back end of my career. I sort of see myself obviously as a senior player trying to help the younger guys coming through, and I would have done a bit of coaching in and around my like playing commitments. But I suppose it's only really been the last few years where I've sort of, in terms of increased the amount of coaching I've been doing, and I've really enjoyed it. Having that really good connection with the players, and just really trying to help them, and obviously trying to help guys play for Ireland, obviously play for the Northwest, but obviously play for Ireland as well. I suppose like ultimately trying to help like Irish cricket, widen their like player pool.
Yeah, that always seems to be the issue, all right, that crops up, that a few more cricketers wouldn't go astray for sure. And from your point of view then, do you see the conveyor belt? Do you see the youth, and what's it looking like coming through?
As I said, I've sort of, like in terms of the Northwest stuff, yeah, there is talent always there. I think that's the biggest thing, even from the Northwest point of view, like there always is talent being coming through. It's just trying to get a hold of that and trying to help as much as possible, and trying to have a clear pathway, which I think there is now, obviously, with up to 17s, and then you've got emerging stuff leading into the senior stuff. So I think there is a clear pathway there now. I think that emerging like future series has really helped that as well. There was a bit of a gap there between them sort of like leaving school and trying to get into the senior Warriors team. So I think from what I've seen, yeah, like I think there is plenty of talent there. It's just trying to help them as much as possible. And I think like ultimately it comes down to trying to get them experience in terms of games. I know we're probably lacking a little bit in terms of academy Wolves games, especially, which I think will obviously help massively to help these guys, because it is tough even going straight from senior Warriors straight into the Ireland setup. Like it is a bit of a jump up. So I think any way and any match experience will like definitely help them.
And from the female side of the game as well, are you seeing the same?
Yeah, women's cricket here has gone like really, really big here. I think it's increased a lot. Been quite a lot of work done by like Catherine Ruff here with the Northwest as well. Just trying to set things up. But yeah, like we've got a full like pathway system now for like the girls too, from under 11s right through. So, and there is plenty of like interest there, as I said. So yeah, I think even with the girls now, I think there is a clear pathway. Mm-hmm. You've obviously got full-time contracts now for the senior women. So I think obviously we've got the likes of Alana and in terms of Kaya, who's just got like contracts recently. So I think it does show the girls in the Northwest that there is a pathway there, and if they're training hard and they're obviously like performing, then I think ultimately they've got a great chance of obviously hopefully playing for Ireland one day.
How have you found the transition of not being a player to being a coach?
I think initially I would say it's quite tough. It's quite I suppose I had a little bit of time. I was obviously helping a little bit with coaching, so I was still getting a bit of cricket and I was still playing a bit of club cricket. But that first 12, 18 months, it was a bit of a shock to the system, I would say, because I was playing cricket 12 months a year for the last 16, 17 years. So to just have that stop, I suppose, sort of overnight, it is a bit strange, but it sort of got to a point where, like a lot of people say, you know when the right time is, and like it was the right time for me. I don't miss having to wake up really sore and stiff. I still sort of get that now with coaching, just having the dog stick for hours, but it's slightly different now. There's less, I suppose, pressure. I suppose it's a slightly different pressure now as coach, but as a player, I don't particularly miss the playing aspect. I do miss, I suppose, being around the team. But I suppose I still get that maybe in a different way now as coach, but I still get my cricket fix, like as you say, in terms of being like a coach now.
There's excitement building now about the test matches coming up against Bangladesh, Sri Lanka and England. You are very much associated with test cricket because you played for both Ireland and England. What are your standout memories?
The standout memories for me, like initially, obviously, was the 2007 World Cup. It sort of really kickstarted my career, but obviously helped like Irish cricket as well, like massively through those early days. Obviously, there was a lot of hard work done before that, but I suppose it all came to that, and we managed to put in a couple of good performances. I think that's high up there. Obviously, for me, obviously, test cricket was the main thing for me. That's like the still in terms of like the pinnacle for me. So making my test debut for both England and Ireland, especially Ireland, it was very an emotional day, like morning. I still remember like Andrew White presented the caps out, and it was just a very emotional morning for everybody involved. It was a lot of hard work to get there. So I think those couple of matches and like series like really stand out for me.
There hasn't been test cricket for a while for reasons beyond everyone's control, but it is back now and it's on the horizon. How important is it for Ireland cricket to have these tests?
Yeah, no, I think it's obviously massive. Like as you said there, they haven't played a test since the England test 2019. So it's 4 years basically since the last one. Obviously, it was a massive thing for us to try and strive to get there. And I suppose once we got there, it's obviously quite difficult in like many ways just to obviously host like test matches ourselves. But I think it's massive to try and help the players now that are in those squads to try and like progress. I'm a big believer that you learn a lot about yourself and about your cricket by playing like the longer format of the game, and I think it can help with your shorter format games too. So I think ultimately I would love, obviously we're playing test matches now with Ireland, but I'd love to see the 3-4 day games back with like the inter-pro stuff as well, because ultimately the guys that are potentially going to play for Ireland in the next few years, they need to be playing more longer format cricket as well.
So what kind of things did you learn about yourself?
It's just, I suppose as a bowler, it is mentally tough. It's obviously like a test match like for a reason. It is tough. You go through really tough periods of the game. And as a bowler, you're asked to bowl 20, 25 overs a day. So you have to keep coming back and you have to learn to bowl, basically. You have to learn to be able to find a way of trying to take wickets and trying to perform on flat pitches, like especially. But I think being able to get a result in 4 day cricket or test match cricket, like sitting down after 4 or 5 days and like managing to get a win, I don't think there's a better feeling in terms of playing cricket. I've obviously been lucky to do that in terms of playing 4 day cricket and obviously winning quite a lot of games with like Warwickshire, but it's just a completely different feeling from a player's point of view, knowing that you put in a serious amount of hard work to get that win.
And you also took Ireland's first wicket in Test cricket, which is a nice thing to be associated with.
Yeah, I was very lucky to do that. Obviously, my old teammate, like William Porterfield, like managed to take the catch. So yeah, it was a bit of a Warwickshire connection there. Yeah, as I said like before, I think that was obviously a very special morning for us. And I didn't really think about it at the time, but yeah, it's obviously quite nice to take that first wicket for Ireland. Yeah.
So just like leading into these tests, what should the hopes and expectations be for Ireland?
I think it's obviously quite, as I said, it is a long time since they have played Test cricket, and for a lot of them, I think there's probably 10 in the squad that hasn't played any Test cricket at all for Ireland. So it's obviously really new for a lot of them. I think the expectations can't really be that high. Obviously, you want to try and go out. I think ultimately we want to try and win the game, but as long as we're able to, I suppose, just learn and think on our feet and adapt to the situation. I think being able to see situations that we might be struggling in, we managed to get through those like tough situations. I think that'll be a massive plus for us to try and just compete, I suppose. Obviously, it's going to be tough away from home in Bangladesh. They're really good at home. Wickets are going to be a bit alien to us. There's probably going to be quite a bit of turn. So it's just a matter of, as I said, trying to adapt and just trying to play every ball, basically. Trying to just break it down and try and keep it really simple. As I said, ultimately, you want to try and win the game. But I think if we manage to get a draw, I think it'd be a massive plus. I was sort of looking back the last few test matches at Dhaka where they're playing, and they've all been results pitches. So I think in general now, especially test match cricket, it pretty much is a win or lose. So I think as long as we put up a good fight, and I'm sure we will do, I think it'll obviously lead us in good stead.
England at Lord's, how special are those kind of games?
Yeah, they're massively so special. Just obviously you're playing against England, but playing at Lord's, probably one of the most iconic grounds in the world. It's just really, really, really special. I still remember walking out that first morning of the last test that we played there, pretty much a packed house. The atmosphere was unreal. You just had goosebumps in the back of your neck. So it's just, yeah, as I said, you have to try and soak it in as well, because at times the occasion can get to you. But I think as long as you can keep saying to yourself, just enjoy it and try and take it all in, I think you'll probably do a lot better off by doing that. So, yeah, as I said, it's going to be really special for those 11 guys that take the field during that test.
So on reflection, were you able to enjoy those days, or is it only now when you're removed from it and time has gone on that you can reflect and think, hey, that was one of the good ones?
Yeah, well, I think as I got to the sort of the back end of my career, I definitely tried to enjoy it more. I think whenever you're younger, you probably don't think about it. You probably just think you just keep playing. But I think obviously at the back end of my career, I definitely tried to enjoy those moments more. And that moment was one of them. I think even now looking back on it, yeah, I think it was obviously really, really special to be part of that. But as I said, I did try and enjoy and try and take it all in the last few years that I played.
Okay, Boyd, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us. And no doubt we'll be talking to you again soon. Best of luck with the coaching.
Thank you. Cheers.
Now it's time for our Answer Me This segment. And I am delighted to say that Arlene Kelly joins us on the line. Arlene, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I always feel sorry for people who move to Ireland and then they realise, I'd say pretty quickly, that it seems to rain here all the time like it is today.
Yeah, I am quickly learning that. I thought I was confident enough coming over with just a couple of jumpers, but I probably...
Yeah. How do you like life in Ireland anyway?
I love it. Yeah, the people are great. Yeah, it rains a bit, but find me a country that doesn't, you know.
True. I think the people probably make up for the bad weather. Was there anything that surprised you that you weren't expecting about life here in Ireland?
Not really. I guess I'd been over a couple of times visiting family and whatnot, so had a fair understanding of of what things could be like. I guess the M50 can be a bit of a pain at times, but aside from that, no real surprises.
Yeah, well, I won't disagree with you there, that's for sure. Okay, I'm going to get into our questions now. So what do you enjoy most about cricket?
The people. I think the friendships that I've made over the past couple of years, and I guess the opportunities that it's provided. I mean, if you had said to me a year ago I'd be sitting here in Ireland, I would laugh. So, yeah.
Growing up then, who was your sporting hero?
Lisa Carrington was probably my sporting hero. She's a New Zealand canoeist who has so many gold medals from Olympics and all sorts. So I think she's very grounded with it too. So she was definitely someone that I looked up to.
That's an interesting one. Now, it's a kind of a left field sport.
Yeah, very much so. But I guess, yeah, when the Olympics and all those sorts of events are on, you just immerse yourself in it. And I'm watching sports that I've never really watched before. So,
are you one of those people who becomes an expert and, you know, starts criticising the scores and all the rest?
I wouldn't say I criticise, but I'd say I'd like to give a lot of those a crack. Yeah.
That brings us on nicely to our next question. Were there other sports that you were involved in down through the years?
Yeah, definitely growing up, we were encouraged to get involved in as many sports as we wanted. So I played netball, soccer, touch rugby. I'd say that was probably it, but we were always out in the backyard playing with family, friends and all sorts.
Were you good at everything?
No, probably not. B team for netball, so yeah, once I finished, that potential career finished. Not that it ever was a potential career, but no, cricket was always the sport that I loved and I guess I wanted to work hard at.
So when you were growing up then, like, did you see a pathway for yourself? Did you know how far you wanted to go, what you wanted to achieve?
Not really, to be honest. I think it was a classic story of playing in the backyard with Dad and the brothers. Brother signed up for a club, and I guess from there I became involved in the Auckland Pathways program. I don't know whether I ever envisaged how far I wanted to go. I just knew that I really loved playing the sport, and I guess I wanted to see how good I could be personally. Mm-hmm. I don't think I focused on what honours I could achieve within that.
Was international cricket on your mind?
Again, I think it was, I just wanted to give my best in whatever came of that. It is an absolute honour to play international sport. And so I think that would have been a motivating factor, yeah, mm-hmm. But it was never the reason why I played.
Tell me about your Irish connections.
Yeah, so all four grandparents are Irish. Mum was born and raised in Cavan, still has a very strong accent despite living 30 years now. And Dad was, his parents came over on the boat to New Zealand and then he was born. Over there, and I guess that's kind of where the connection comes from. We came back for the first time when I was about 15 for a cousin's wedding, and from that point forward absolutely fell in love with the country. I think it was such a strange experience because I was meeting cousins that I'd never met. I felt like I'd known them my whole life, that sort of a thing. So yeah, definitely a strong connection.
Were you, I guess, raised on Irish folklore, on all things Irish? Were you hearing about the culture? Like, is that the kind of upbringing that you had?
Yeah, definitely. We had spud every night for dinner, like, I'm not sure. But no, it always has a strong part of who I am and my identity. So now to be over here playing a sport I love and living in a country that I love too is really special.
They all must be so proud of you.
Yeah, they are. I was actually speaking to Mum this morning, and obviously it is tricky at times on the side of the world, but they're immensely proud and happy to see me doing what I love.
So how have you found playing club cricket in Ireland then?
Yeah, it's been a great experience. I think my club season kind of has been a bit disjointed with international commitments and things like that, but the girls just bring a fantastic work ethic and attitude, and I think one thing that I've kind of noticed being a major difference from New Zealand is clubs over here have more of a community feel. You get back, you support the other teams, you go for a drink on a Friday night. There's that real camaraderie, which is really important within any sport. So it's an amazing thing over here and a real strength of Irish cricket.
Away from cricket then, what does the perfect day look like for you?
Oh, okay. Have a little long stroll along the beach for a coffee. Maybe catch up with some friends for lunch. Get in some sort of active activity, whether that is going for a run or a walk or whatever it might be. And then a nice dinner. I like a good steak, so maybe a steak for dinner. And a movie or something. Nothing.
That's a nice, simplistic way of life.
Yeah, very much so.
A lot to be said for it. So what's the best piece of cricket advice that you have received that has helped your career?
I think to be where your feet are. I guess in cricket there are a number of different uncontrollables and external distractions. But I think for me, when I've had most success as a player, it's when I've been present and been clear, and just focused on either bowling that delivery or facing up to that ball. And I guess that applies in trainings as well, like being present so that I'm able to fully commit to whatever it is that I'm doing.
Sounds good, Arlene. Now I have some quick fire questions to finish, which I need you to be present for because they're very hard. Mullets, nifty or naff?
Naff.
Oh, don't agree at all. Sledging, part of it or park it?
Park it.
Your best performance on the cricket field?
Probably scoring a century in the one day final back in Auckland.
Song you've played the most in the last month?
Oh. What's the new Ed Sheeran one called? I should know that. It slipped my mind.
The only one I know is Celestial. Yeah. Is that the one?
That's not quite long.
Okay, movie you last watched and enjoyed?
Probably The Titanic.
Really?
Yeah, I love The Titanic.
So are you the type of person that watches the same movie over and over?
That would probably be the only movie I would watch over and over. Yeah, otherwise, no, I couldn't do it.
Amazing. Learning a lot about you, Arlene. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope the weather gets a little bit better and that you have lots of enjoyment and success here in Ireland. Thanks for listening, and join us again in the next show to discuss the return to Test cricket for Ireland men, and we look ahead to international fixtures this summer. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, also rate and leave a review, as it really helps other fans find us. And if you have any questions, you can email us at thegreenballshow@gmail.com, and we'll do our best to find the answer. Farewell for now.